Hello, welcome to the Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. I am Usman Abazanna, your host for today. In this episode, we will be discussing the abuse and manhandling of civilians by some law enforcement officers in Nigeria and what the law says about it. Today, we will be listening to a brief overview of the situation from the perspective of the Nigerian law. The next voice you will be hearing will be of the lawyer, Jilmari Yusuf Lassa.
Concerning this issue of malhandling of citizens by law enforcement officers, I find it to be particularly disheartening. And the reason for that is the irony is just too clear. Law enforcement officers are upholders, ideally are supposed to be upholders of the law and protectors of the masses. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And law enforcement officers being agents of the state and being representatives of the state, which we all know is abstract, have a sworn duty to protect the citizenry and not to go against them. You see, malhandling of civilians by law enforcement officers goes against several legal instruments, both at the national and international levels. On the national level, the fourth chapter of the 1999 Constitution, which happens to be the grand norm, the most supreme law of the land, guarantees certain rights known as fundamental human rights. And the fundamental rights that are often violated by law enforcement agents are three main sections. I would say Section 34, Section 35, and Section 36 of the 1999 Constitution. Section 34 specifically talks about the dignity of the Nigerian citizen. That is, it guarantees the Nigerian citizen protection against torture. That is, it guarantees him protection from humiliation by law enforcement agents. And if you look at it, the abuse by law enforcement agents or malhandling of civilians could be either on the streets or in the police stations. Now, that Section 34 that talks of the dignity of the human being mostly relates to what happens on the streets, but also in a way what happens in the police stations, but it's more glaring on the streets. But what is specific to the conduct of law enforcement officers to suspects, I repeat, suspects in custody would be Section 35. Section 35, subsection 1, stipulates the grounds that the liberty of a suspect could be taken, at least momentarily. The legitimate grounds are listed in subsection 1. Now, subsection 2 guarantees every Nigerian citizen the right to remain silent and to confer with a legal representative of his choice. And in the event he is unable to get such a legal representative, the state becomes obligated to appoint one for him. Now, this is where the Nigerian Legal Aid Council comes into play. So every person, regardless of your financial status, every person is entitled to legal representation. And sub 3, it guarantees you the right to be informed of the offense you are charged with within 24 hours. That is why you were arrested. You have the right to know within 24 hours of arrest. And subsection 4, which I find to be very interesting and which is often violated by our law enforcement agents, is that every citizen has the right to be taken to court within a reasonable time. And a reasonable time is defined as 24 hours, provided there's a court of competent jurisdiction within a 40-mile radius. So in the case of Maiduguri, there's hardly a legitimate reason for someone to be detained for more than 24 hours without being charged, because 40-kilometer radius, that's larger than Maiduguri itself. And we have lots of courts of competent jurisdictions, courts with jurisdictions to even try capital offenses. So there's virtually little to no legitimate reason to detain someone for more than that period, which we see happening all the time. Now, as for the international instruments that guarantees the rights of citizens regarding brutality by law enforcement agents, we have the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of the United Nations of 1948, which mainly deals with rights of self-determination and dignity of man. And we also have, on a continental level, the African Charter for Human and People's Rights Enforcement and Ratification Act, which is also applicable in the case of Nigeria. Now, we have had several instances of, well, I would say cases of people being maltreated, and they took the case to court, and they, not surprisingly, won. For instance, we have the case of Anubi and others versus Odom, where the court held that the detention and the treatment of the suspects were illegal and unconstitutional. The court gave an order that the suspects be released and also awarded damages of 10 million naira. Now, in the event that a case is taken to court over abuse of a person's right to, let's say, personal liberty under Section 35 or dignity under Section 34, even if such a person, that is the victim, does not ask for damages, the court can on its own, suo motu, grant damages, regardless of whether it was asked or it wasn't asked, because a certain measure of restitution is needed. And I am well aware of cases where, now that's where the social media comes into play, or that's where documenting comes into play. It's often good to get violations on camera, that is where possible, because oftentimes, if something is not properly documented or is not properly captured, it's going to be a case of he said, she said, meaning it's going to be your word against a sworn officer of the law. But if such is captured, and things like this have the tendency of going viral, if it goes viral, you may not need to do much. At times, all you need to do is just to lean back and watch civil society organizations or other persons take the battle on your behalf. There are lots of lawyers that do cases pro bono. And if the video gets viral enough, the security agency in question is going to enter damage control mode. That's when you're going to start hearing of press conferences at the headquarters. And in such an instance, let's assume the perpetrator is a mobile police officer. Even his squadron commander cannot save him, which I believe should be the rank of a stand commissioner of police, at least, cannot save him. I can recall the case of Richard Gere, Richard Gehring was a police officer with force number 188547. I believe he was attached at the time to PML 77 at again Kogi State. So he was caught on camera trying to intimidate citizens, almost trying to assault citizens, extorting citizens, and he went a step further to make it seem as if corruption and extortion has been institutionalized in the Nigerian police force. When that video came out, the police headquarters swung into action and he was dismissed. And we have had a case in Port Harcourt where an inspector was caught on camera brutalizing a civilian, and he was demoted from the rank of inspector to sergeant, which to me is not enough, but that is still something. That is still something. So such cases abound. And going back to abuse of citizens while in custody or after the initiation of our proceedings, that takes me to Section 36 of the 1999 Constitution as amended, which guarantees the right to fair hearing to every citizen. In the legal parlance, we attach certain maxims to it. The first is nemo judex in causa sua, that is, you can't be a judge in your own case, which may not be so relevant here. But the second, which I think signifies the fundamental flaw, is audi altera partem, that is, hear both sides of the case. Now, the problem we are having is, instead of the law enforcement agents to give citizens the benefit of doubt, that is, to go with the presumption of innocence, what we have on ground is presumption of guilt. So instead of you being presumed innocent until proven guilty, you are going to be presumed guilty until proven innocent, which should not be, which should really, really, really not be. And there are lots of cases ongoing concerning brutality by security agents, but they are in the courts, and it's going to be unprofessional for me to comment on it because that would be prejudicing the process. For victims of brutality by security agents, I would advise that if possible, now this is before the abuse or during the abuse, it may be risky, but where it is safe, if that abuse could be captured on camera or could be captured via any means, then it's going to be far easy to respond to such, so that the happenings of the day, what transpired during the day, will not be just hearsay. And the reason why I keep emphasizing on things being captured on camera, given the examples I gave, is that if things are captured on camera, the highest echelon of that security service in question would swing into action to save its reputation. And don't let this macho, I would say arrogant, aggressive, and testosterone-driven chauvinism of the law enforcement officers that are perpetrating, that is, the bad acts in the law enforcement officers perpetrating such brutality, don't let it fool you. Because once the process begins on them, the same law enforcement officers that are extra macho and untouchable are going to become so calm and reserved, almost like primary school pupils being called to the, being summoned to the headmaster's office. And the switch from that display of impunity during the alleged abuse and the calmness when the process begins is going to be so drastic that, from experience, it would be as if the person in question is suffering from, that is, the alleged perpetrator is suffering from multiple personality disorder. And that is poetic. That is what justice, or a semblance of justice, looks like. And in the case of abuse, if you are unable to capture it on camera, even if that's the case, or if you are unlawfully detained and you don't have access to a lawyer, it's advised that you, or let's say any of your relations or well-wishers, should reach out to the Nigerian Legal Aid Council. If you meet the requirement, they would certainly intervene. They have their lapses too, but it's a chance worth taking. And there are certain cases that civil society organizations can take up the battle for you, and cases of abuse being one of them. So I think people should really utilize the social media properly, because the social media has its negative aspects, breach of privacy, etc. At the same time, it has its positive aspects. Look at it this way. When we say police brutality, what comes to mind is the case of George in the United States of America that sparked the Black Lives Matter movement towards the end of the corona pandemic. If that event was not captured on camera, the response wouldn't be a fraction of what it later became. It wouldn't have been a fraction of it.
So that is it on what the law provides and what is found in the actuality. Thank you for listening. Our executive producer is Ahmed Salkida. For more episodes, visit www.humananglemedia.com. If you would like to get in touch with us, feel free to email us at info@humananglemedia.com.